We are live, so hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 316, in which we just kicked your ass. My name is Andy.
Yep. I'm Dan.
I'm Dave.
And breaking and news, Dave. Generalissimo Guildball is still dead.
Yep.
What? Generalissimo Guildball, what? Oh, I didn't even turn on my camera. Jesus. Everything is all broken. Now it's all fixed. Dan has no camera again.
That's true. I was too lazy to grab my laptop for the second time in a row.
It's fine. You had like 3 weeks to find your laptop.
Oh, it's yeah. It is right next to me. I just didn't feel like booting it up and updating Discord.
Yeah. Well, like, we get to the root of the problem.
This is full-on laziness.
Yeah, you work from home too, so it's not like you were stuck in traffic and had to deal with kids or a kid. Yeah.
Oh, I fully admit I'm lazy.
Okay, fair enough. 2020 has been one hell of a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if we last podcasted like this weekend or like 2 months ago, because I have no conception of time.
It was about 3 weeks ago, because I was originally going to try to do something last weekend. Yeah. I talked about doing it on a schedule, but I think we were 2 weeks away from the last time we broadcast. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like David said, time has no meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is bizarre. I consider these days, I consider myself lucky to remember to get the trash out on trash night.
Oh.
Getting the recycling bin out, too, is just a bonus.
A wild Nathan ends up beginning to appear.
Yep.
Yes.
We should also note, and maybe if Nathan is possibly listening, that we are currently broadcasting. So before
Hooray!
He goes into a gigantic rant of some sort, just want to let you know that we are technically live.
That's all right. And
hugging
so don't
the very
change
bottom
a tire
of
on
his...
a hill.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Because if you do that, your car falls off the jack.
Yeah.
Once you remove the tire and you don't have the new tire on yet, so all the weight just lands on the quarter panel and the you know, actual wheel.
Yeah, that could damage some things.
It sure can. And then when you have to try to lift it back up with said jack, you're still on a hill.
Yeah. What'd you do? Did you just?
I tried to change a tire on a hill.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
It had a slow leak, and we determined that there was a nail in it, and so I was throwing on the replacement tire, and I underestimated how steep the hill was.
Ah.
Turns out it was steep enough to roll off the jack.
Oof. What are you supposed to parking brake here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we could do this again. I will do it again just for posterity. Welcome to the Crippled System, episode 316. My name is Andy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan. Weren't you mid-episode?
Yeah, we were. Yeah. I just thought
we're just reintroducing.
I just introduced with you in there. And then, you know, they messed it up.
Who messed it up? Did I mess it up? Were we talking about Gwent? No. Were we talking about the new leaders?
No.
I was waiting for you to get here for the Gwent talk.
Oh, my God. No, please. Oh,
Andy, you don't understand. It was another Gwent patch day.
I keep scheduling
this perfect.
I had to mute my damn telegram again.
I think the Rage of the Sea is stronger. It's boring, but it's strong. It's a good 12-point leader, even not counting Greatswords and Darren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
great swords are insane now, by the way.
Yeah, but they're capped, so.
Yeah, they're capped, but they interact with self-wound. They interact with healing. Like, they're capped at 10, but then that just encourages you to reuse them. So, like, you put a Svalblood priest to the left of them, and it's like, do one, gain two, and then you just damage something and get it back up to 10. Also, they Sigdriffa's right at 10.
Yeah, I mean, they're real good. It's just, it's nice that you actually can, like, interact with them now.
They're no longer one broken trick. They are six great tricks. Which was the title of my brothel.
Six great tricks?
Yeah. Because a trick is something that a magician does, Michael. See, that's the reverse of that show.
Travis is asking, what's the all the background noise interrupting Dan? And I think he was saying it was you.
Oh, wait, oh yeah. I'm background noise still.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
I couldn't even hear it.
It's me. It's literally, unless you were adding to the joke and saying you couldn't hear me.
Because of all the background noise?
Talking?
Yeah.
Warp, warp.
See, you guys didn't even need me to come in from changing my frickin' tire. Oh, that's a bad move.
It's okay, Nathan. Like, but we
changing
need
the tire or coming
content.
In?
Both?
Hmm?
Changing the tire or coming in, which was the bad move?
Both. Yeah, both. Oh. Either. Everything.
Life.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Announcements. The world's on fire.
Yeah, the world's
everything's
still
terrible.
Yes. Gil Ball is still dead.
Gil Ball is still dead.
Today is the official kill Gil Ball off the website day.
But hey, at least Steamforged Game launched their new licensed product here, Kickstarter.
No, they didn't launch it. They just announced it. It doesn't even launch until next year.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, the Monster Hunter IP.
Is that what it is?
But are they taking money for it?
No.
No, no. They just said they're going to take money in a year from now. They offered pre-orders for the other popular Horizon Zero Dawn, I think it was. Mm-hmm. They're taking pre-orders from that, so it's basically late pledges. So taking pre-orders directly from the customers definitely doesn't help any retailers from ever carrying your game.
This company just has one great business model after another.
Yeah,
we're going.
They want to be cool mini or not.
Which has worked for Cool Mini or not. Like, it is a good business model if you don't give two fucks about your customers or stores.
But that only really works once.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like that article you posted said, Dan, like, they changed from consumer-driven to investor-driven. Mm-hmm. Like, these things look good on your quarterly reports.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're running a $2 million Kickstarter every 4 months, I mean, or every 3 months, looks pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, at least for your investors.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's all you care about at this point if you are them. Like, they have made that transition. As in late-stage capitalism, every company eventually does, because it's that or die.
Yep. Well, suffice to say, Gil Ball cares about me, their consumer, as much as I now care about them.
Yeah.
So they also blame you. You blame them for your financial woes and unable to write good rules for a game?
No, I don't think they care about that. Plus, I didn't actually really spend much money on Gil Ball. It was all recycled War Machine armies. So.
Yeah.
So you were to blame.
Well, I mean, hold on. When Dan got into the game, you could probably count how many teams on one hand were available for purchase from Steamforged.
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think. How many teams did I even buy firsthand? Yeah. let's see here.
Maybe some of the
plastics. I was gifted an entire farmer's team for free. And a starter box for free.
Yeah.
So zero. I didn't buy a single team firsthand.
Again,
this wonderful business model after business model is don't sell shit to your customers, so they have to buy on the secondhand market and make $0.
Yeah, I mean, works. If they were controlling part of that secondary market, that would be that actually would make sense. Like if they had participated in like a GameStop form of Gil Ball models. That would make sense, but no. I mean, they sold all their metal models before they even had production
renders
set for their resin models. And that's just stupid.
Well, like I said, I really think that was a we need to make rent move.
Yeah.
Because that was right after Dark Souls Wave 2 got effed, so.
Yep.
Dark Souls.
Hey,
so do you think maybe Steamforged is like, well, none of our customers buy anything from the game stores, so we'll just make it impossible to buy stuff from the game stores?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll just cut it logical.
We'll just cut out the middleman. That way, you know, you can directly have no options.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably ask in chat if you are watching, is my volume much better this time around? So just post in there. That'd be great.
To clarify, he means, is he about the same volume? If you dislike him and wish his volume was lower, that doesn't count as saying his volume is bad.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I mean,
it's purely a technical question, not a aesthetic question.
Yeah. Yeah, I can always just shut off everything.
You sound fine to me, but I have AI magic running in the background to make voices sound better.
You always have AI magic running in the background.
You are AI magic.
I mean, entirely. I mean, you guys have known me, and if I told you right now, I was an Android project to verify attempt to interact properly with humans, you would nod and say yes, but the project failed.
No, I mean, I'm a developer. I understand completely why your speech module has occasional stutter issues.
It's just Dan. Kind of extra semicolon in there.
Oh God! Like I spent like 3 fucking hours today before giving up on a problem like that at work.
Blank space or some shit like that, fucking up code.
What's that thing that's not the apostrophe? The thing that's on the same button as the tilde.
The fuck you key?
Yeah, the fuck you key. But the thing that's a backwards apostrophe, I forget what its name even is, but that's got to be a fun one.
Yeah.
So coworkers and I once spent 3 days trying to debug something that ended up being, we copied and pasted a code sample out of Microsoft Teams and it put an unprintable character at the beginning of the line.
Just something blank or some shit they couldn't.
Well, like I said, it doesn't print because it was an ASCII character under 127. It still does not compile then.
My best one was when I was working for the American Board of Radiology. We damn near had to shut down everything because something some other idiot put into the system was importing text fields from a website, and it was prepending the Unicode character for unprinting space in front of random fields, which is a problem because a string starting with a completely invisible character and then has a code after it is not the same string as just the code itself, even though by definition they display identically.
Yeah, and that's bad enough when it's like what I do, which is like e-commerce software. Actually, it's not even that, but like info for e-commerce stuff. It's really bad when that's cancer treatment software.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, that just ended the conversation immediately.
So, Dan.
Yes?
Shield Guard hotfix this week or next week?
Probably next week.
Okay, I can go with that. No way it takes 2 weeks, though.
They're European.
Good times.
Steamforge was European.
Yeah. Yeah. We rest our case.
Oh, man.
But importantly, did you notice how... I have to look up the patch notes. Please vamp.
Is it about the cleric now?
Yes, yes. Yeah. The game is now not unplayable because the cleric has the cleric type. That is official patch notes from Gwent.
Yeah. Game no longer unplayable because they gave the cleric tag to a thing that is called a cleric.
Okay.
It is actually, as terrible as Reddit is in general, it is one of my favorite running gags on the Gwent Reddit is like they'll find stupid little stuff like that. Like a character called like the Firesworn Cleric doesn't have the cleric tag. And it doesn't matter because the cleric tag doesn't do anything, but other things do have the cleric tag for no reason. And so people post the screenshot and just they'll circle it in Reddit and be like, game is literally unplayable. or for some reason, like, they don't have just copy-pasted, like, descriptions of abilities. Like, some things will say at the end of your turn, and some things will say at the end of every allied turn, and some things will say on your turn end. And it all means the same thing, but it's just inconsistent. And so people will just, like, be unplayable. Literally unplayable.
Well, that's it's like, Mark 1.
Yeah, that's like War Machine, where basically the abilities were exactly the same, but it's just slightly different.
Yeah. The beast still isn't a beast, though, but that actually makes sense fluff-wise.
Didn't Netflix drop something on The Witcher recently? Didn't they just drop, like, some kind of special or something?
I don't think they did. Like, I heard that they'd started filming season two, so we can expect season two sometime after the world dies. But I didn't think there was actually, like, any consumable media that they dropped.
I thought I saw that they did.
But I did watch a potato-quality leak of the trailer for the trailer for the first half of Dune, and that looked really good.
That was an amazing potato.
That was one of my favorite potatoes.
Okay.
I would show you the link, but it's got to be copyright struck by now.
That one, I think, was pretty well hidden. There was a better quality version of the leak trailer for the trailer for the first half of Dune that came out today. And that one somebody just posted on Twitter, so it got copyright struck right away. But that streamable link I sent you, there's like 8 people that know that link. So hopefully it's still good.
But yeah, I say the Dune trailer comes out in a week. A week from tomorrow, I think?
The 9th, according to the trailer for the trailer. So yeah, a week from tomorrow. I don't know when the trailer for the trailer actually drops, so I can watch it on non-potato quality. I thought it was today, or yesterday, but it didn't.
No, it's in theaters only, so you have to go somewhere where you can see Tenet.
I don't want to see Tenet.
What is Tenet?
It's the new Christopher Nolan movie that nobody cares about, and the reviews all say that it's the most, like, meh.
Oh, okay, okay. So yeah, my sound effect was perfect for that.
I was going to say, were you met on it pre or post COVID?
I was going to say you can go see a bad movie, catch COVID and die, but you saw a trailer for a trailer.
I think Nathan's more on board with this plan since death is involved.
Yeah, so first of all, death is involved. Second of all, the movie I can see. So I can watch the trailer for the trailer and then go watch like Bill and Ted Face the Music. So I can see a good movie and see the trailer for the first half of Dune and die. But I don't want to die until the second half of Dune comes out. Unless the first half of Dune is so bad that it can't be. It literally can't be.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know how they could screw it up enough for me to hate and not watch the second half.
It'll be worth it enough for Oscar Isaac's beard. Man, that he is not my type, but I would, yes.
Yeah, but there's multiples of us that are in this chat here that went to go see Wing Commander just to see the Star Wars prequel trailer episode one. I mean,
God, I hope Dune isn't as bad as the Star Wars prequels.
I mean, we're comparing Tenet to Wing Commander.
I don't think that's fair to Wing Commander.
Yeah, I mean, the Wing Commander was not great cinema by any stretch of the imagination, but for what it was, it wasn't terrible.
Oh, what is wrong with you? That is hot garbage.
Isn't it in the top half of video game adaptions?
It actually probably is in the top half of video game adaptions.
Oh, dude. That movie is just, it literally is hot garbage floating down the Mississippi River on fire.
My favorite little detail from the Wing Commander movie is that obviously they wanted to try to get like some, like, they wanted to do the verisimilitude effect where like it's something that feels more real than real, like the truthiness. Mm-hmm. So they must have watched footage of aircraft carriers and they saw that when planes take off, like they'll dip down a little bit and then take off after leaving the deck.
Yeah.
I mean, Wing Commander is just a Pacific war in space.
Correct. Yeah. So I guarantee they watched footage of that because in the film, when ships are flying out, they dip down after leaving the docking bay.
In space.
They leave the docking bay into space, and then somehow gravity pulls them down before they swoop away. Because like, that's what planes do.
They're so close. Like, if they had done that backwards, that would have worked.
Yeah, but I have to ask, though, has there been any popular sci-fi film that has actually done space physics correctly? Because, every adaptation of space fighters... space fighters... they still have friction in space, and it drives me insane. But at the same time, if you're going to see anything that has space fighters, you're looking for a dumb sci-fi movie that's about fighters, because fighters don't make any sense.
So not a movie, but the PC game Independence War has actual scientifically accurate space physics and is a dogfighting combat sim.
Yeah.
So you do stuff like you're going that direction, you rotate 90 degrees, you're still going that direction, you shoot a missile, it goes away from you, but it's also still going the direction you're going, and it's fucking amazing. I apologize, Andrew, continue your sentence.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, I can think of, like, two shows that have done space fairly well. One is Firefly, had kind of a feeling of space, and The Expanse is another one.
Yeah, Firefly did still have an episode where they ran out of fuel.
And they stopped. And that's not how space works.
Well,
it's better. Like, I will agree better. With you that it is better than most things, but it's still like, oh no, we're out of gas, so we're stopping, because that's how vehicles work. You run out of gas and you stop.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's also things like in every game and just about every science fiction movie, there's this concept of some ships being faster than others, and in space that doesn't exist. You can have more acceleration, but everything is the same speed given enough time.
Yeah, but also my ship goes warp 8.
Yeah, well warp is different, because warp isn't speed. Warp is like efficiency of flexing of space, like the actual layers. Fabric of reality.
Yeah.
Like warp isn't speed, it's warp.
And also we have to give Star Trek a break, because Roddenberry knew that the teleporter made absolutely no sense and didn't want to have it, but the studio forced it on him because it was too expensive to film a landing sequence in every episode. So they had to come up with a way to not have a landing sequence, and it was done because it was cheaper, not because Roddenberry thought it was a good idea.
Well, that's giving Roddenberry credit for that. Yeah.
I mean, where you just use the exact same clip in every episode.
Yeah.
In Masters of the Universe, they're like that whole sequence where Prince Adam turns into He-Man and Cringer. That sequence was the most expensive part of their animation. That's why every single episode.
I mean, they made an entire season of Robotech out of like 35 minutes of Macross.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true too. Wing Commander is 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think it's given about 8% in the positive of what I think it should be.
I don't know.
I will say this. It is not 1/11th, or it's at 8%, you said, or 10%?
10%.
It is not a ninth as good as Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. So either Wing Commander is underrated or Crystal Skull is overrated. And
what is the rating for Crystal Skull?
It's like 89 or something.
No, I think it's like 50s.
No.
Really?
No, I guarantee you Crystal Skull is in the 80s, because it horrifies me every time we have this conversation.
Yeah, I know we've had this before at least twice, but I enjoy it.
I don't think I've actually looked it up.
Okay, I'm looking this up because I have to. On Rotten Tomatoes, Crystal Skull.
Oh, it's down to 78.
78.
Wow. One day I might I don't even know why I would do this, because I don't drink anymore. I was gonna say I will just never watch that movie.
Yeah,
I might actually own it.
So if everybody's on Rotten Tomatoes now, oh, somebody just dropped. Nathan's just dropped.
I came back.
But no, it's amazing. You should go and check out the score for Face Off. It's an unbelievable score. I'm surprised it's still up there now.
Is it still in the 90s?
It's 92%. Face Off, where an actual kidnapping occurs. Nathan has ranted about this.
I
the so
heroes.
Much,
yeah.
So much.
God,
on this.
Fucking movie.
You're my kid now, because my kid died.
You don't need your identity. You belong to us. Billy. My name's Steven. Your name's Billy now.
Let's do that weird face rubbing thing. Yeah.
This is me wiping away your childhood and forcing you to become my child. Also,
but
Billy was
like
left-handed.
Baseball.
Nope, you like baseball now. Billy liked baseball.
Oh, my God.
John Woo kind of went away after that.
No, he produced.
He left on top.
He produced a great movie after that. You know which one that is.
He directed Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with the motorcycles.
Yeah.
And not a very good Mission Impossible.
It is easily the worst Mission Impossible.
It is, yeah. It's definitely a possible mission to make that movie worse. Yeah. So speaking of movies, I learned something, unfortunately, 2 days ago. Was it 2 days ago?
I don't know when you learned it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, time has no meaning. That
was it Sunday?
Yeah. When was it that the Black Panther had passed away?
Saturday.
Was it Saturday? Yeah. I learned that.
No, it was Sunday. It was Sunday.
Okay. That
because I was home and I was out of town on Saturday.
That all the amazing movies that he gave us for Marvel and that were all done while he still was working with cancer.
Yeah.
This is since 2014, I think it was, when he was diagnosed, or
2016.
Yeah, he survived surprisingly long with stage 4 colon cancer.
Yeah. It's,
by the way, colon cancer is one of the top leading causes of cancer deaths and is the most preventable form of cancer. Get your ass screened. No pun intended.
Yep. Yeah.
Fucking not CDC. That's not who I'm. Is it? Whatever. Yeah, CDC lowered the screening age from 50 to 45 for a reason. Get screened, especially if you're black. It disproportionately high killer of African American men.
Interesting. I did not know. Yeah,
I know a lot about colon cancer for reasons.
Yeah. Is it your father? Was it?
Also, the company I work for is.
One of those. Correct.
That's he has what both they personal do and financial reasons for knowing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get something scheduled too. I'm reaching that that age.
You don't want a camera up your butt? Well, good news. You can poop in a box. It's a lot easier. Don't even have to go to the doctor. They mail it to your house.
So I could just send you one of my boxes?
Well, no, we send you a specific box.
No, Andy. Send
a special
him,
box.
Send him the Earscope box.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, that was a final end to my ear endoscope project.
Well, didn't you get double refunded? You got refunded, and now they're going to replace it. So you're going to end up with a broken endoscope and a good endoscope, and all your money back.
I got my money back. I don't know if they know that I got my money back. I'm waiting for them to realize that I got my money back. I don't feel right about giving them my new address to get the product again.
It's like new address. Did you order it that long ago?
No, but I mean, they asked me to confirm my address so they can send me a new one. And I didn't feel right because, like, if this would have showed up perfectly, you know, showed up properly and in good condition, I would have probably just returned the refund that PayPal gave me. But yeah. I don't want something for free. I mean, I paid for it. I'd at least like the thing, but I'm not going to try to cheat the system and get something for free.
I don't know. On the other hand, they jerked you around for like half a year, so.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand with COVID as well, but man, the whole sending me like random articles off of some random webpage, that was one of the things they did is they had like some shipping page and like Akron, Ohio. They're like, here's proof that mail is being having troubles with. And I'm like, I could have posted that. And during the exact same time, I mean,
are you sure you didn't post it, Andy?
I didn't post it.
Are you sure that, you know, you weren't the problem all along?
Ooh. But I mean, like, I know
did they
that
blame
Chicago,
the players as well?
Chicago is a big hub for mail distribution in the central United States.
Oh.
So a lot of international mail comes through there. During the time period that they shipped this item, I had gotten several international shipments that had come through Chicago and had gotten regular mail through there. I've almost never had a delay in anything else except for that very specific item. In fact, I've got a couple CDs here. See? But yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about
Wing Commander.
Yeah, Wing Commander.
Sure.
No, somebody had mentioned on our Facebook wall. I was asking asked us what we think Marvel should do about the Black Panther. Like, how should they handle that situation with one of the main characters for it to leave?
The concept of cinema is dead forever.
Yeah.
Like, movie, like, there is no way, especially that kind of, like, the blockbuster, like, Disney's not going to release anything into theaters for at least 6 more months, right? Because they're not going to risk something not making $1 billion because they're the mouse. They can't have that. Right?
I mean, if Mulan makes the money they think it is, I don't think they're going to care about theaters anymore.
They're not charging for Mulan now either.
They are.
They pulled that back.
They did not.
Oh,
they said it'll be free for Disney's Plus subscribers in December. It's still $30 this month. So what they walked back was their previous claim that if you spent the $30, one of the benefits was that you got to have it forever, because everybody gets it forever 2 months later.
Yeah, I'm just waiting until it streams then. I'll pay my $6 a month, or like whatever, $12 a month now. Because I got the Hulu and I got the ESPN Plus with it.
If you have Verizon, you got a year Disney Plus for free.
Yeah, but you have to have a Verizon.
I mean, every cell phone company is garbage, so it's kind of irrelevant which garbage you have.
Yeah,
I have one that's attached to my
truth of it.
Yeah, I have one that's attached to my company, so I get a discount on garbage.
I got a company phone, and it was an iPhone, and I'm kind of angry about that now.
Why don't you like the iPhones?
I mean, they are terrible, and garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are Android phones any better?
They're slightly better. Well, I guess Steve Jobs is burning in hell, so he's not getting anything out of an iPhone.
My general view is that iPhones are superior hardware wise, but the interface has not caught up, and Android phones, there are more Android phones that offer a much better price performance ratio, that are better values. But I mean, the iPhones are almost always good hardware, but they're overpriced, and the software is too slow to change and adapt for my taste.
Also, the cult isn't there with Android yet. Yeah. Like, the closest you'll get to a cult with Android is that people just hate Apple. They don't have, like, you know, I don't fucking know what number this even is. My Pixel. I maybe it's a 2. Is a 3 a thing? Maybe a 4? I don't fucking know. But every Apple fan knows exactly what number their iPhone is, because it's a number too small, because in another month they're going to wait outside for another one, because you can't have your iPhone for more than 11 months, otherwise your head will explode.
Those lines are going to be huge now, because they're all 6 foot apart.
Who the fuck cares? It's a phone.
Speaking at it from the tech side of this, I think Apple is absolutely fascinating, because they are no longer an electronics company. They are a luxury lifestyle company. Because that is entirely what they do, and that it's all that. I mean, you treat it. Look at Apple products like a Mercedes. That Mercedes are really nice cars, but most of the people that buy them don't buy a Mercedes because of the physical qualities of the car. It's because you want to be seen as a Mercedes. It just happens to be able to sell them. They have to be nice cars to attract that level of prestige, but you're paying more than what the actual vehicle is worth to get one. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing for Apple devices. They are a luxury device. They're a conspicuous device that provides some idea of a lifestyle. And that's why they cost more. Apple devices are perfectly good hardware wise. As I said, I have some qualms with the software, but I have qualms with all software because that's what I do.
I also look at it as I pay extra, so I don't have to worry about it and just don't have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but in general, if you look specifically at the hardware, Android phones usually have a better value proposition, but Apple makes nice hardware. They're just overpriced.
The only thing I have to worry about with my Droid is how likely I am to get a hug from Hungerford. Apart from that, I don't have to worry about anything with these.
Yeah.
So in the age of COVID, your phone is fine.
Yeah. 100% of my pixels have failed due to Hungerford hugs.
Yeah.
I think it was even a failed Hungerford hug too.
I mean, eventually the hug went through, but it was an ordeal indeed.
I mean, dude, I was there. It involved the phone being hurled at and bouncing off my foot.
And he did like this kung fu judo move. It's like, dude, just come in for a hug.
I was wearing sandals at the time, so it actually hurt.
Maybe your foot is what broke my phone.
Yeah.
The concrete would have been safer. I don't know if you have toenails like Dumb and Dumber.
Yay. So, I mean, your statement, though, about Disney, I mean, pretty much cinema is dead. Like, even if they were to put out Black Widow tomorrow in theaters, I don't feel comfortable going to a theater to watch it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on. Well, it'll be fine. Go in a room with a lot of AC and a lot of people packed tightly together and then just sit there with no movement for 2 hours.
Have you seen what Marcus is doing by us? So, just out of curiosity, because Point is open again, okay? Go on their website and go to reserve seats and you'll see that in a place that's like 12 rows that are like 20 seats wide, they will have a total of 12 seats available. Because like the third row will have two pairs like a third of the way in from either end, and then three rows back there will be two pairs, and then three rows back there will be two more pairs, and that's it. Like maybe the ultra screen they'll fit 20 people max. Because they're keeping that distance between people, and they have ushers making sure you have your mask on anytime that you're not actively eating or drinking. So they're actually, like, it's almost sad. Like, obviously, just stay closed, right? Like, but America isn't set up where you can do that, because if they just stay closed, they go bankrupt. And that's okay, because Jeff Bezos has more money than any fucking country outside of, like, the top 10 of them. Whatever. But the point is, like, as far as opening is concerned, it's almost admirable how careful they're being about it. But that's also probably just purely so that they don't shoot themselves in their foot when somebody comes down with COVID at a movie.
Also, if they can put... I mean, I guess it depends on how profitable everything is going to work out to be, but if they can, like, limp with 12 people per theater, damn, those concessions are overpriced.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Although, I mean limping's better than nothing, right? Like, even if they're losing money, they're stemming the flow.
Correct, but, like I said, there's that interesting problem of if they can survive like that, it shows what their actual profit margins are.
Yeah. So my actual answer to the question is twofold. So, one, the MCU is actually at a decent ending point. Like, if they just stopped releasing Marvel movies, this is the best time in the story to do it. But assuming that Disney's not willing to do that, and that movies have to continue, then the answer is Shuri.
Yeah. There are two films in post-production, one in filming, and three in pre-production right now.
Yeah,
so the train has already left the station.
There's
a lot of movies.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. They released New Mutants. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. And that wasn't even done by them. It was something that was done that they could try to make some money on.
I mean, Shuri is a good choice, but honestly, I would vote for M'Baku.
Get the people who did Tarkin on it and just keep T'Challa.
Just keep him masked all the time?
So, yeah, you could just have him masked all the time and say, oh no, the king has lost his voice, or speaks only in words that he's said before for some reason. or you just full-on terrible CGI Princess Leia style.
Yeah, because as I say, Tarkin wasn't even like that awful. Leia was the one that really stood out.
The disappointing thing about Tarkin is that if they kept him further back in the scene, you wouldn't have been able to tell.
Yeah.
The disappointing thing about Tarkin is that there was zero reason for him to be in the fucking movie.
No, he was fine. He was fine. I agree with David.
You have Krennic. You have Krennic.
Yeah. Whatever.
You don't need three villains. This is what did Spider-Man in the first time.
I mean, Krennic, you could have had Tarkin have like a cameo role, and they
correct.
Could have,
he did not need to be as present. He needed to show up at some point.
Yeah, you have Vader yelling at Krennic and say, "If you can't get this shit together, Tarkin's going to take over. Therefore, we have established why Tarkin is in charge next film. Bye." And then both of them leave forever.
Yeah.
And then you have your villain. Be the villain.
Yep.
No, but yeah, I agree with Nathan in the terms of the best person to replace the Black Panther would be Shuri. I mean, that's
M'Baku.
And what?
M'Baku. No, because then you lose M'Baku as M'Baku. I don't want M'Baku in the Black Panther suit. I want him wearing his freaking pimp cloak, sitting on his throne with his beaten stick and his monkey mask.
I mean, it's the new Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther's a gorilla now.
Yeah.
Nathan, you can't say that. You're not in Kenosha.
Whoa. I was actually 80% certain a year ago, or I don't know, time has lost all meaning, but after Infinity War, I was 80% certain that Black Panther 2 was going to star Shuri, because I thought maybe that would be their out.
Oh, yeah, where they would just keep him dead?
Correct. Because they had announced Black Panther 2, they had not announced T'Challa 2, and they had announced Spider-Man 2, they had not announced Peter Parker 2, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So theoretically, all of those characters could have just stayed snapped. But they were not as brave as I am, which is probably why they have infinite money.
Well, that's also comic books in general, too. You know, you have popular characters that have died. They're going to come back. Like Jean Grey, how many times has she come back in the X-Men comics?
Every time it got bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wait, no, that's every time she died.
Also, I mean, both.
Also, Phoenix Rising? Was that the last
Dark X-Men? Phoenix?
Dark Phoenix.
Which bad Phoenix movie are we talking about?
Yeah,
the one with River Phoenix, the one with the aliens and little explorers.
Hey! How dare you? How dare you? I love that movie. That was a childhood favorite.
I know. I'm just giving shit. But yeah, no, that last X-Men film was not very good.
Which one are we talking about?
Not New Mutants. It was the most recent. Dark Phoenix.
Although the majority of X-Men films are good. Like I didn't like there's so many bad X-Men films I had to do the math because somebody posted a list of all the X-Men films and most of them are actually good.
I can see that because one and two are good. Yeah.
So one is good, two is good, three I think is mediocre. Some people say it's terrible. I think it's passable. The trilogy as a whole is relatively strong.
Yeah.
So you have two goods and a bad. Like let's round all the way to the end. You got two goods and a bad in that trilogy. So that trilogy is mostly good. Then in the new trilogy, you have First Class, which I love.
Yes.
You have Days of Future Past, with I would round up to being good. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worse than First Class, but it's not terrible. Then you have Apocalypse, which is probably a C- that rounds down to bad, I have to be fair. It's not as bad as people think, but then Dark Phoenix is terrible. So that's 50-50, but even still, we're at 4-3.
So is Dark Phoenix or X-Men 3 worse?
Probably Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix in general.
And then, you have to add Logan to that. And Logan is a fantastic movie, period, even outside of the genre.
Rewind a second. You have to add a New Mutants because that's technically part of this whole franchise. Okay. And now you're at an even 4-4. So you're in trouble. And then you get to Logan, Deadpool, and Deadpool 2, and you're 3-0. And that's what tips it over.
And then you have to add in the three Wolverine films.
You're right.
You forgot about Wolverine.
There's two additional Wolverine films, because Logan would be a Wolverine film. Yes, you have X-Men Origins, which is fucking terrible. And then The Wolverine, which I think is fine.
The Wolverine is decent. I mean, I don't have as much hatred towards X-Men Origins, because I'm still giddy about
which one is X-Men Origins?
That's
excellent. Even if you count the Wolverine as bad, you're still at 7-6.
Yeah. X-Men Origins is the one that has a great intro sequence of Sabretooth and Logan fighting in a whole bunch of wars over like 300 years, and then you turn the movie off and you're like, wow, that movie was only 5 minutes long, but it was really good.
I'll say the interactions. I mean, there's plot lines that are horrible in that film, but all the interactions between Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine are awesome.
Sure. I wish there was. Are they better than teleporting Baraka arm mouthstone shut? Deadpool is bad.
Oh, that one. Okay. All right. Yeah. I remember which one you're talking about.
Fucking adamantium bullet.
He didn't have a chance because he didn't have this.
God fucking.
Why not give him the gun?
How does a lady with complete mind control powers get kidnapped? Like, while they're kidnapping you, just say, "Hey, don't kidnap me," and then they go, "Okay," and they leave. And then once you're kidnapped, you know, be like, "Hey, let me go," and they let you go.
Yeah. I wish I could be a good enough screenwriter that I could pull those two, basically Liev Schreiber and Hugh Jackman, to make just a different movie. Because I think those actors obviously Jackman's amazing, but Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth was fucking awesome.
I'm going to say that I agree with you that those parts of the film are great, which is all the more reason the movie's terrible, because it squanders those.
It shits on it with diarrhea, but you didn't open up the lid of the toilet, and it just sat around in it forever.
Its editing is so bad, I thought that they'd introduced a new character.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, for 20 minutes, I'm like, who's this new guy? And then finally there was a scene with, like, enough lighting that I could tell it was the same character that I just thought was someone new because of shit editing.
Yeah, the Gambit suddenly appearing out of the woods or off the rooftops.
He leapt off a rooftop. Like, fucking A. Yeah. Shit-ass movie.
Also, Gambit, I don't care what you say, Gambit is shit. I don't care about Gambit at all.
Hey, man, if he, like, sat in a cave in the middle of nowhere and just charged up the Earth for a month, he could blow it up. He is a Cataclysm-level mutant.
He's also basically useless.
What are you talking about?
I mean,
Bad in the Super Nintendo X-Men game.
He's bad in general. Have you seen the Pete Holmes X-Men, the EX-Men skits? The one on Gambit is just, like, dead on. I just don't like that character at all. He's just stupid to me. Will you throw playing cards?
Hey,
you just hate him because he talks in French.
Yeah,
that's kind of true too. Yeah, he's pretty much the worst of Louisiana, the French part.
I don't know. Hungerford broke my phone.
I was going to say, if you are familiar with that part of the country, the French part is the good part of Louisiana.
Oh.
Trust me, it gets so much worse. And then there's part of it that's just fucking on fire randomly.
And in fairness, Gambit can throw anything. It's just playing cards are a cheap source of ammo.
Oh, man. I should link that to our wall. This is the whole Pete Holmes skit about Gambit as the X-Men.
They're good skits.
They are.
So yeah, also about a quarter of Louisiana isn't even there anymore. Have you seen the things? It's like the normal map you see of Louisiana, and then the map of what is not actually underwater right at this moment.
Yeah,
because it's like a quarter of southern Louisiana just isn't there anymore.
Yeah,
but it's not like as of like a couple months ago. Like this, just that like maps haven't bothered to been updated for a long time, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just
This Louisiana isn't a hurricane joke. Okay.
No. Yeah. It's like these maps are as of like 200 years ago, and people just don't bother to update it because that's your mental, you know, picture of Louisiana.
Also, who wants to survey a swamp?
Yeah. But yeah,
like, it's impossible to determine coastline.
Yeah, there is less Louisiana than there was like 50 years ago, and this is an ongoing problem, and people just don't talk about it because nobody wants to update their maps. But yeah.
There's less of, like, every coastal region than there was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also the Mississippi keeps on fucking things up. Like, they had to, like, reroute a river to save New Orleans.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Wait a second. Is this all Lex Luthor plans going into effect?
No, they have literally been doing this for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Mark Twain made jokes about this in the 19th century.
Sure.
I mean, this is how long the Army Corps of Engineers has been battling the Mississippi River.
So topically, like along the lines of maps lying to you, it still enrages me occasionally when I remember that for like the entirety of our childhood, they lied to us about the order of the planets.
Yeah.
Like order of the planets as you know it is true now, and it will be true for 10,000 years, and it was true for 10,000 years before our childhood, but from like 1975 to like 1993, that wasn't the order of the planets. And instead of bothering to tell us we were living in a cool, amazing, unique period of time, they just lied to us.
Was that Uranus and Neptune?
Pluto and Uranus.
Pluto and Uranus?
For like Pluto 30 years, every 10,000 years, or maybe even more. It could be just like every million. I don't remember how long it is, but like none of us are going to live to see it again. Like the planet's not going to live to see it again. Like it is absurdly small period of time. We lived in a time where that wasn't the case. Man, just fuck you. We're too lazy to teach you that.
Yeah, and it was Neptune, not Uranus. I have to point
like
out
Pluto and Neptune.
Pluto was really closer than Neptune.
It's fine. We fixed the glitch. Yeah, say we fixed the glitch. Pluto is no longer a planet.
Fuck you. Pluto will always be a planet in my heart. Could have grandfathered it in. Science lied.
I mean, you have to do something to cover up Pluto Nash.
How about we split the difference and Pluto can stay not a planet if Charon is a planet.
Charon doesn't qualify either. Pluto's moon that may actually be larger than Pluto.
Yeah, it's not really they're each other's moon.
They
spin through space like two dancers together. It's the most romantic thing, and scientists killed it.
Yeah, because that was sort of the Pluto was traditionally, and then they found out, oh, Pluto has a moon, and then later it's like, oh, the moon may be larger than Pluto. This is weird. Okay, it's not a planet. Never mind.
They're co-orbiting planets or something. Like,
yeah.
They don't say Saturn's not a planet because it has a belt.
But Saturn's belt doesn't interact with its gravity.
Well, yes, it does. That's how it formed, right?
Well, like David mentioned, Pluto and Charon orbit a point between the two of them.
Yeah. Which is cool.
It is cool, but because they wrote the definition of planets weird, it no longer counts.
So rewrite the definition of planets. Ta-da! I win. Science loses.
I mean, it's not like they're going to be upset that we either, like, Pluto is going to make a course to come get us. Because it's not that.
Plutonians could be angry.
Speaking whatever. Well, could they have been the ones who sent the asteroid that's going to hit the U.S. right before Election Day?
They sent COVID.
No, it's the 5G that's set up.
COVID. That's true. The 5G towers. How do you know the 5G towers aren't spaceships from Pluto? Have you ever seen one getting built? No, they all landed in the middle of the night. Checkmate. Okay,
I looked that up. I have to correct myself because Charon is considerably smaller than Pluto, but the barycenter of the system is not inside Pluto, so it's large enough in comparison that they actually orbit a point that is slightly outside of Pluto.
Yeah. So, why does the definition of the planet have to include the barycenter?
That has nothing to do with the definition of planet. It was just the way the objects work. The point they both orbit is slightly outside of one of them. But Charon is much smaller than Pluto, but I believe at one time it was thought to be about the same size.
So I'm thinking I should go down to Culver's and go to the Barry Center down there and get some ice cream, some custard.
Do you orbit Culver's?
On occasion, I do when I have to go through the fucking drive-thru.
I mean, no, the Barry Center. I say the Barry Center for Andy is between Culver's and Taco Bell in Verona.
I've gone less Taco Bell, but yeah, no, it's mine is hovering through the drive-thru at Culver's.
The two closest restaurants to me are the Culver's in Spring Green and the Culver's in Sauk City.
Yes, that is small town Wisconsin in a nutshell. Yes. And you go by what, half a dozen bars before you get to either of them?
Yeah, that doesn't count the half a dozen bars I would pass before I would get to either of them. Zappity.
Grumble. Is it that time?
Yeah, we could start doing that. You said that you'd seen some Twitter responses.
I do have the Twitter ones.
Okay.
All right. Michael Elk, what kind of tournament swag do you like? New Guild Ball refugee listener.
Tournament swag? Something that's useful. Something that's useful for whatever game that you're playing. So, like, if I was playing Guild Ball, like, having a score marker would be kind of nice. Or, you know, some kind of dice or tokens. No. If you're just going to give me, like, a random picture of somebody, it's probably... I'm probably not going to do anything with it. So usually something useful for the game that you're playing.
Widgets are fun.
Yeah.
Objective markers.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with Andy here that if you give me a picture, it is going to go someplace and then probably get discarded the next time I move. So yeah, widgets, dice.
Things I can give to my kid. You know,
there is an annoyingly not ignorable, yet still very small minority of people who would vastly prefer the picture over widgets because they already own all the widgets they need and pictures are cool, but there's only one Travis and there's thousands of people who aren't him. So in general, if you're planning on tournament swag, it's safer to lean towards widgets and dice and markers.
I mean, and for like for a long term for War Machine, I was that person who had every widget I needed, but
you still wanted widgets.
Well, because know why? Because we had new people coming into our game store and I would give them the widgets.
Yep.
Yeah, Zappity. Oh, yep.
Grumble.
Zappity, Grumble.
All right. From Akamanners, what's your most anticipated game from Gamescom 2020?
World of Warcraft Shadowlands.
Yeah. I mean, they announced the date for when Shadowlands hits.
Yeah.
I only honestly saw one trailer because that was one I actively sought out. So I don't know much what was released for new game information, but Blood Bowl 3 got announced at Gamescom. And I am intrigued by Blood Bowl 3 because, hey, I need my sports football type game. And
And I will say unapologetically, I am spending a lot of time in World of Warcraft because it is a social outlet. And it turns out pandemics suck.
Yep. Also, RNG sucks in World of Warcraft. I need my fucking pets. I don't need to do fucking dailies for 2.5 weeks to have them give me a box that just has gold in it. Give me a goddamn pet. God.
I got my mail muncher.
You fucker. You got that before me?
I got the mail muncher two days ago, yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm not like trying to rant like Asmongold because he was like getting annoyed by everybody who was getting mail muncher before him. But I honestly haven't tried.
Next time I see you own, I'll invite you to a group and to fly it around.
No,
but yeah, I wasn't even. I was just like, oh yeah, I might as well see if I've got any chance of getting the mail muncher. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No, I just want pets. That's all I want. I don't want to do all the fucking invasion dailies. Because I've been doing those consistently, and I've gotten a bunch of the caches, and I have yet to get the pet out of those two.
All right, so after looking through a list of Gamescom trailers, I don't really care about any of these.
You
like, there's stuff that's interesting, but I mean, so I guess I'm going to go with the Call of Duty Cold War trailer, just because I've seen many good Reagan memes with it.
What's some of the games, maybe? If you...
Damn it, I just closed that tab.
Fall Guys Season 2, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Destiny 2 Beyond Light, World of Warcraft Shadowlands, Doom Eternal Ancient Gods, Mafia Definitive Edition, Scarlet Nexus, The Sims 4, Dragon Age 4, Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. That actually might be my number one. If it's not, my number one is the next one, which is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, because the prequel trilogy and original trilogy Lego Star Wars games are wonderful and enjoyable, and all of the other Lego games since then have been garbage trash. Ratchet and Clank, Little Nightmares 2, Medal of Honor. Also, there's the Outer Worlds expansion, but I don't know if expansions count.
I mean,
yeah, like there's interesting stuff. It's just nothing's like wowing me.
That list seems very unoriginal. I think there's only one game in that list that you mentioned that.
It's all sequels and re-releases.
Yeah, yeah. There's like
because that's all games are sequels and re-releases.
Yeah. And then you get Carrion.
Yeah, I mean, the if Devolver Digital had been at GamesCon, it would have been whatever.
Isn't Fall Guys Devolver Digital?
Of course it is, because it's good.
Yeah.
Devolver Digital, they're like anti-E3 or whatever. Like they had their latest episode. I don't know what you even fucking call Devolver Digital's press releases anymore, but their latest one was last month, and it was really good.
Have any of you guys played Fall Guys?
Yeah, I have.
Do you have it for? Do you have it for PS4? PS4. Okay. I bought it for PC because there's some of the guys in the guild for my Warcraft guild that were playing it. So
Tell them it's free on PS4.
Not anymore, I don't think.
No.
It will be for another few days. Right? Yeah, it was one of the August free games, and August
is over.
August
sure,
is over,
sure,
yeah.
sure, but they, when they did the new one come out?
Like the fourth or fifth.
Oh, because I thought I saw this time the games rotated today, but I mean,
you know what? It's probably the first Tuesday or something that it rotates, and so it's today. You know, it wouldn't be on the first very often. That would make sense if it rotated today, if it's first Tuesday, but whatever.
But I bought it for $30 on Steam, and that was it's actually $20, but I got the collector's edition, so I could be Spaceman.
Fair.
But yeah, hopefully there'll be some crossplay sometime with the game. But
they're working on it. So
I would love to play that as a group.
Crossplay already. They just don't have cross group yet. But that's their like number two most requested feature. So it's coming.
Is the number one most requested feature eliminating all team games?
What? No.
The team games are terrible.
it is basically two teams.
As long as you always are on the same size team as the other team. When they do the like a 4v5.
The problem is their matchmaking respects groups. So sometimes you get into weird situations. The first finals I made it to was because it was a 4v5 soccer game, and that one was not good for the four.
When it's a three teams and then just two teams, just like, hey, let's all just gather up on the yellow team and just beat the crap out of them.
And that's right? Yeah. Like 4v5, that's nine people. It easily could have been 3v3v3 on something else, right? Yeah. Like the game just needs to not do team games if it can't split them evenly.
That's fair.
Also, it needs to not do the memory game.
Yes. Yes.
You don't like the memory game?
Nobody likes the memory game.
I love holding because people over the edge.
The problem is the memory game either gets everyone out or no one out. So either way, it's a waste of time.
Yep. Yeah, you go through there and it eliminates from 36 to 35. And it's like, oh, great.
Because that's, I think, the only game where there's no elimination count is just survive three rounds.
Yes.
Like, the only other one close to that is Slime Climb, and that one's just fun because if you watch it, the number of people that can pass is always the number of people that start. It's just everyone sucks at it.
Slime Climb, is that the one where the ocean is just kind of still going up as you're climbing further into? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need to limit how many people can pass this because the entire field won't.
the memory game could keep going. Like, is it 4x4 the grid, or is it 5x5?
I think 5x5.
So it should have 25 different things, and it should just do like a flash once, unflash, show you your target, and it should go from two things to four things to eight things. It should end with 25 different symbols.
No,
I did see an amazing video of some guy who purposely like dive jumping onto the wrong thing and then scuttling over to the correct thing. But everyone saw the person dive jump and like, I must be wrong.
And they panicked.
And then 19 people fell off and two guys high-fived.
You could take the memory game and just actually permanently lose that platform. That comes up. Yeah.
Or permanently lose the memory game.
Yeah, I mean, anything would be better than that. Grumble. All right, last one. Gwent.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Ethereal is gone. Infinite Queens is gone.
Oh, Queen. Oh, my God. So fucking killing my Kiki Queen deck. Like, Death Shadow, I understand they wanted to eliminate everything that allowed you to play two cards in one turn because it's the antithesis of the base game mechanic, right? But Strategic Withdrawal and Death Shadow net you zero cards. They are play a card and destroy a card, so you did not gain a card. It just causes an interesting combo. And you can be like, oh, well, strategic withdrawal, you get to trigger Swears twice. Okay, yeah, I get to trigger Swears twice, which means my leader ability was seize a three-point unit, which is already a fucking Nilfgaard leader ability. So it's not like I'm abusing the game by doing this. And without Death Shadow, you can't do a Kiki Queen deck. You need to double cast Karanthir, or you got nothing.
You said some words and some syllables that I don't recognize as words, but I will.
You talked about your damn drop in Warcraft land. I can talk about my Kiki Queen deck dying. And Ethereal is mostly dead, but there was one stealth buff in the Ethereal nerf, which is that you don't get fucked if your opponent moves your Yurgurn in front of your Ethereal anymore. Because then you just don't use your Ethereal. It was mandatory
before. If your opponent moves yogurt in front of your Ethereal?
Correct.
Okay.
Dan,
yogurt is a master of the Schwartz.
I mean, yeah. I am sad that my Infinite Queen deck is gone, but I will be willing to admit that this is another scenario like when they nerfed Gatsby 2, where I understand why for the health of the game they did it, and I'm still sad because they did it.
I'm just sad that my artist deck is gone.
All right, zap it.
Grumble.
And I think, Andy, you basically covered the one.
There's a second one that's over on Crippled System.
Okay, you got it.
Facebook, yep. So Jim asks, at what point does something switch from being a hobby to a lifestyle or a problem?
There's a difference between those three things. are we in the middle of the corporate wants you to identify the difference between these two pictures meme?
I would say a hobby takes up a portion of your time, a lifestyle takes up the majority of your time, and a problem takes up all of your time.
That's a perfect definition of it. So WoW is a hobby for me.
Bullshit.
It is completely a hobby. I'm not going to go upstairs and play it immediately after this.
Can we phone a friend, your girlfriend?
No.
You should play Gwen instead.
No.
It's a bunch of new leaders.
So,
You'd like Skellige.
Also, there's a very important reason why Gwent is better than World of Warcraft. It is significantly easier to play Gwent from the toilet.
I could take a laptop into the bathroom.
Yeah, but I can take my iPad into the bathroom, and then my lap doesn't get warm.
No, that's fine.
So
it keeps the circulation going in my legs.
I want to tell you the crossover between a computer science nerd and a WoW nerd is that one of my hobbies for the past couple of months has been writing a controller driver for WoW, so you can play it anywhere.
Make sure you send that over to Blizzard so they can sell that stupid game onto the new Xbox and PS5.
Well, that's another definition of when something is a problem, is when you design a controller driver so that you can do it more frequently.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're actually having native controller support in the upcoming expansion, although I tested it out on the public test realm, and I'm probably still going to use my own because it does what I want to do better than the native controller support.
You have a problem. When you pay to have a part-time job, that's a problem also.
So basically everyone who plays fun. Eve. Yeah.
Yeah. But Eve's programming is fun. Sport.
So this is going
Eve
back
is a great spectator sport.
This is going back many, many years, but I remember specifically for my PlayStation 1 when I was playing Final Fantasy 7, I didn't have a problem at all, but I did buy a one-handed controller so I can eat my big Montanas as I was playing Final Fantasy 7.
Is eating your big Montanas a euphemism?
No, you don't know what a big Montana?
That was an Arby's sandwich.
It's an Arby's sandwich. It's like half a pound or a pound of roast beef in a sandwich.
Yes, it was a euphemism.
See, I remember rubber banding the square button down and then going to bed so that Alucard would keep attacking the zombies that spawn in the first screen of Symphony of the Night so that my familiars would get to level 99. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I would wake up and I would switch to different familiar, rubber band it, and then go to school. And then come home, rubber band it, go to bed, and then all my familiars would be max level.
I do remember spending 5 hours in Legend of the Dragoon on the first screen, and then the entire first CD was a cakewalk, and then I got bored. All right, recommendations.
I saw a thing where somebody got to max level in Final Fantasy VII without getting out of the Mako reactor.
Yeah.
They ground all the way to max level in that first tutorial area.
It's better than that.
The Badger in South Park.
It's better than that. Somebody started doing it and got to like level 70 or something, and they had some life changing event and couldn't keep up. So because
was it that they got a life,
that I think that may have been it. Disappointed because this person had followers on YouTube or some shit like that. Somebody else took it up and started over from the beginning and finally got to level 99 without leaving the Mako reactor.
That's like the guy who was playing Civ 1, like, still. And then people, he, like, showed this, like, 30 years later, right? And he's like, here's my Civ 1 game that's still going because I keep clicking one more turn, and it's like this irradiated wasteland, and the internet fixed his world for him. Like, because they were better at it, and they, like, scrubbed all the pollution. Like, they took over the save file as a group project.
I mean, there's also a guy in World of Warcraft that got to max level as a neutral Pandaren. Which is particularly interesting because monsters on the... You have to choose a side before you leave the newbie zone. And
I will talk about the harmony nerf being reverted if you continue with this.
All right, so Dave will stop, and then I'll continue.
How did I forget about that?
So level 1 through 10 is...
Because they correctly saw that Mystic Echo was the problem, not Harmony. So when they got rid of Mystic Echo, they reverted in the Harmony nerf.
Yep.
I'm excited about that. I might actually play Scoia'tael.
Recommendations. I think we're to that.
State of Decay 2. It's
can't play that with you.
Why not?
Yeah, Andy, why not?
Our last 30-minute conversation pretty much says why I can't play State of Decay 2.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem. It's not a problem.
Oh, it's because he has a WoW addiction.
It's a hobby.
See how it's taking up all your time, so you don't have time for State of Decay 2? That's how you know it's a problem.
I have time to eat, shower, work, and go shopping for
I believe
food.
At least one of those is a lie.
Probably the showering.
He doesn't do all of them every day. Every day he skips one of those things, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, State of Decay 2 Juggernaut Edition. It's on the Steams or the whatevers. I think it's a PC and Xbox exclusive.
Yes.
But you shoot the zombers and you make the bases and then you win and then you do it again with importing your characters. So it's kind of like, it's not a roguelite. Because the maps are set in stone, but like random missions happen, you build up your survivor thing, you beat the game, and then you start it again with a new survivor group where you can import some people so you get some advantages. There's a survival mode. It's just fun to play with friends. It's like that whole Minecraft thing of the doing things together, building a base together, but with far more explosions and death.
I was trying to convince Brian to... State of K2 is actually... It's a lot of fun to play. I downloaded it, bought it, and played with Brian and Chris once. but I was trying to convince him to do 7 Days to Die, which is a kind of like another zombie sim game, base building.
Yeah, except that one, it's like you build up and then waves come and eventually you die, right? So it's not as much of like a continual feedback loop, right?
No, you can continue on for a while. I mean, but eventually things can get really, really, really bad and hairy. But
yeah, like I'm not bad mouthing it. It's just a different style of game because it's more like here comes a wave, here comes a bigger wave, here comes another wave. Is there much like missions and going out and like helping other survivors and trading and stuff like that?
There's some trading in it. It's very similar games, but just not as story driven. It's more of like a true Minecraft / zombie survival horror than State of Decay is. It's a little bit more narrative driven than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fuck fun. All the sheriff missions.
Right. Brian almost killed me on our first mission. Not even a mission. We were just driving around. Then he ran over a boomer when we were in the car.
Get out of the car.
Yeah. Well, it was a good thing that they yelled, get out of the car. I think Jess. Chris died, I almost died, and Brian almost died. That was a good
first
experience.
Nightmare difficulty ones now. It actually does a really neat mechanic, too, where so like when you jump in to help somebody else, like it doesn't have like a shared server, like so you can't have like the four of us all have a base on the same map. Like a map's going to be one player's thing, but you can jump into somebody's game and play their game with them. And so what it does to encourage that multiplayer, because you might say, well, as long as I'm helping Andy out with his map, nothing's getting done on my map. And so, like, you know, for some people that doesn't matter. You're just playing with your friends and that's cool. But for some people that's a drawback, and that's nothing wrong with the being that kind of a person. So what they do to mitigate that is the longer you play in somebody else's map, when you log into your own map, they just give you a whole bunch of free shit. Yeah. They're like, here's a bunch of weapons, here's a bunch of ammo, here's some mods, here's your reward for playing in their thing instead of your thing, which is funny because not only then do you get all that stuff like you would have hypothetically earned by just playing your own game, but time doesn't elapse in your game, so it's actually better for you to play in other people's maps. So it really encourages that multiplayer aspect.
Yeah, like my character that I had with Brian, I mean, I literally started the game and I played like 5 minutes just so I can get to my base so I can do multiplayer.
Yeah.
My character I played in Brian's game, I had a sniper rifle on. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take that with me. We'll go back to
sniper
my game.
Rifle. So, yeah. Yeah.
It's not the most quietest weapon. But
they also do a good job with like lootable things are color coded, so there's no like loot griefing, you know, there's no like roll for need greed kind of thing. It's like if I'm player three, I'll only be able to open the treasure chests that are flagged as being mine.
And oh, you'll only open those yours, yeah. Diablo-style loot. The Diablo 3-style loot.
Kind of, because instead of the treasure chest just dropping stuff individually, like, if the four of us were playing, like, Andy's character will be yellow, I'm blue, you're orange, and David is green. If we go into a house, the dresser will glow blue, and the kitchen cabinet will glow yellow, and so on. So we each have our own specific things that only we can open at all.
Got it.
And it also is because neat, because then you'll be going, like, I'll go into a place and I'll go, oh, Andy, this is all yellow. Like, this is where you need to come search. And he's like, oh, well, I found a bunch of blue stuff in this building. And we'll kind of, like, switch swap. Which is different than, like, Diablo, where just wherever you go, loot drops for everybody. It's just on their own screens.
Fair enough. All right.
Anybody Zappity. Else? Well, that's not a Zappity. That was a recommendation.
That's a recommendation.
I know it was, but nobody else was talking yet.
Okay. I will recommend picking up NVIDIA's RTX Voice. It is a program that there are instructions online for using it if you have a non-RTX card, but it's supposed to run with RTX cards. And basically what it is it's a AI system that runs on your GPU, that it has an input and an output. And what it does is it takes voice signals, whether it's your voice going through a microphone or somebody else's voice going into a line that you have dedicated for voice, and it cleans out all of the background noise. And it is near magical in its ability to do so. Like earlier in the cast, where somebody was talking about Dan having something going on in the background, I literally was completely unaware of this because I could not hear anything in the background other than Dan talking.
David, again, the thing in the background was me.
Okay.
His David.
Yes.
His username in this
is background noise.
Is background noise.
Oh, because I thought there was something going on Dan's side, and then that was turned into a joke about.
No,
Nathan. I mean, I was eating chips at the time, so yes.
Okay, so I could not hear you eating chips.
That's because I know what a mute button is.
Okay,
unlike Nathan, who'd hang up on us.
Yeah, that's true.
No. But anyway, It is near magical at the ability to take background noise out of voice. And you should look it up. There are instructions online for how to install it for non-RTX cards. But if you have an RTX card, it just runs nicely and makes you sound better and makes everybody you're listening to sound better. So check it out.
Nice.
It is a use of AI that is not going to destroy civilization, so you might as well enjoy it.
It's secretly recording us and filtering out, make everybody sound the same. Oh,
dude. Yeah, I mean, so you all have Facebook accounts, so it's too late for that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My recommendation is a new app I found by accident called Mealtime. It's a iOS and Android app. It's an interesting take on a recipe app because you can go through there and you give it some basic preferences. You know, I like anything, I'm a vegetarian, et cetera, and you can also disallow certain ingredients. So you can set it up. So, you know, I'm doing keto, but I don't like tofu or something like that. And then it'll recommend different recipes for you. And you pick out 3, 4, 5, however many you want. It'll build you a shopping list. But the other nice thing about it is if you let the recommendation engine run, it'll try and figure out how to, you know, like in my case, we have 4 recipes picked out per week. It'll try and calculate what 4 recipes can I make with the least amount of food waste.
Hmm. Okay.
So that way you don't get stuck with the problem that we usually have where it's like, what am I going to do with the other half of this eggplant? Or stuff like, something like that.
So what is this called?
Mealtime.
That's what I thought you said, but I didn't want to guess.
Yep. It is pretty nice. It is free with a subscription. The subscription is some more recipes and then the ability to have it on multiple devices and to like take notes on recipes. So if you're going to use it a lot, the subscription fee makes sense. But it also, like if you just want recipes for a week and then don't really care or going to extract them or something, the free version should work fine. So the biggest reason why I have the subscription is actually so that my wife and I can both have it. So whoever goes to the grocery store has the list. So
mm-hmm. That's fair. It makes sense.
Yeah, we've made several things from it this week and they've turned out pretty good. And also it tries to make most of the recipes be like 30 to 40 minutes or less as well. So.
Cool. All right. So am I giving my recommendation?
Yes.
Everybody else already has.
Yep.
Did I already recommend Carrion?
Yes, last week.
Damn it. I am actually going to recommend a TV show that everyone should pick up and watch because it's kind of neat, kind of weird, mostly weird. You should go check out HBO's Lovecraft Country. It is.
I've heard good things about that.
It's beautifully done. And it's weird. That's really about the most I can really say.
I mean, it's Lovecraft. Weird is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like if Lovecraft doesn't make your brain hurt, something went wrong.
Yeah. There's. I mean, like in it's really only in the 3 episodes now that's out right now. I've only seen the first 2, but there are like things that I expected to be lasting all season or something like that. Have not. It's an interesting show to wrap yourself around. And HBO's I feel has been kind of knocking out of the park when it comes to like a limited series. Like Watchmen is easily one of my favorite shows of last year. For a full series. I mean, I'm so glad they didn't continue it because I think it would may have watered it down a little bit, but man, yeah. HBO has been solid. But yeah, Lovecraft Country. Do you like your 50s mixed with a little Cthulhu? There you go.
Lovecraft would not approve of it because there's black people and they aren't monsters.
I mean, it's the 50s, so like, you know, if you're in the South, you could still get away with it.
Yeah.
But it would probably be too hot for them, though.
I can't remember.
I don't remember which one it was, but one of the Lovecraft stories like ends with like this people discover like, you know, a cult or whatever, and they worship this dark god and blah blah blah. And the last line of the story is like, and even more horribly, she was a negress. And then the story ends. It's like, what? What? Like, wait, what? So I kind of
Lovecraftian fiction is good despite its author.
Yes. I kind of love, you know, taking Lovecraft and doing like a racial thing with it just as a big fuck you to Lovecraft himself.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the main characters are all of color, but I mean I like it so far. I'm excited to see what it brings, and hopefully it'll continue on being as good as it is right now.
Hooray!
That's my recommendation.
All right. End the story, bear.
Yeep, yeep. All right.
Well, cool. All
right.
I have some pets to go level.
In State of Decay? Do they introduce pets?
I mean, if you want me to...
That's his name for you.
If you want me to play like that game Nathan. More,
not like that.
I would need Pokemon in State of Decay. Can you imagine?
I mean, Chris's kids could just walk around going Pikachu, Pikachu for a while.
The cars are kind of like you with your whole mount thing, like trying to get all the cars and then get upgrades for them and like park them all outside your base. It's like, look at this, I have these ones. Like that's basically like the mounts in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I've ridden in the one that's got the weird horn that Brian had. It's like an old truck. It almost sounds like an alarm of some sort when you press the horn on it.
Yeah, I think it's the Norma or whatever.
Yes.
I have something called the Impaler that's just basically just like a Mustang with spikes all over it. It's like a Mad Max car. It's the greatest thing.
Or a Death Race 2000 car.
Yeah, it is like a Death Race 2000 car. The only issue with it is that it doesn't have... I can't go over railroad tracks. Like, what? That's how low to the ground it is. Like, this thing will bottom out if I go up a curb.
Oh. So running over zombies is not good with it.
That's fine. Like, it annihilates them. Sure. Like, it's the fallen lamppost in the road that makes me die.
Fair enough. All right. So I guess we'll call it here. We'll probably gather in about 2 weeks or maybe a week whenever I decide to send out the email to the rest of the guys so we can actually talk.
Season of the Dryad, perfect time to start playing.
Well, October 26th, you can always play some Shadowlands with David and I.
Yeah, it's like 2 months away. Really? Play Gwent.
Yeah, play Gwent for 2 months and then you can play World of Warcraft.
But you can level your character right now that has 100% extra...
Or I just pre-order Shadowlands and get a free boost.
Let's play Raid Shadow Legends.
Oh, yeah, Raid Shadow Legends. I can't even go into this.
Are they sponsoring us yet?
No.
They sponsor everything, whether you know it or not.
If they sponsored us, I would actually care about the script because they would have bought me a burrito.
I want burritos. Maybe I'll talk to them. We'll see if we can get sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends.
Get us a Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, we need four delivered Chipotle burritos.
Just specifically, like here's $300 to split amongst your team. They're like, no, we want burritos.
Yeah, we want burritos. But money can buy many burritos. Explain how.
Nathan, either you're driving into town or that's an expensive burrito.
That's fair.
In these COVID times, I found out that on Fridays when Jim and I comes over to watch shows, we have to travel to Chipotle at like 3:30 in order to not be in line with all the other people going out for food.
Why are they going out for food? There's a pandemic. Stay at home.
That's true. But, you know, they go to the Chipotle and sit in line without masks.
Don't do that. Wear your mask.
Yep. Bye. Wear your mask. Bye.